I was there at heart.
Yeah, the fever. Old Fielder fixed you up, didn't he?
No, when we were back at Grand American, Mark, he did a shirt swap with us and brought Fever over, and we got, you know, pictures of him in front of the banner and stuff. It's pretty cool. He's a nice guy. And I think he ended up, he had some issues at the hunt that night. And I don't know what they are, but those, are they cypress? What do they call them things? They're like come out of the ground. They're like a cypress root. They're just like this stub that comes up. And I guess he hit his knee on it. So I haven't really talked to him since then, but he told me I'm bringing my lucky t-shirt to the hunt. So he wore one of our shirts to the plot. It's plot days, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I know there's two.
Yes. This was the APHA or APA, the American Plot Association. I tell you what, just from being there, there was a lot more people there this year than there has been in the past, at least two. The weather was horrible Friday. From the guys that I talked to, poured down rain, and they still had record numbers attendance. So, but I seen Mark Saturday morning, and you know, Fever done pretty good. He won. I don't know if it was a water race or something. He won that, and then he won his cast night champion cast. So he only needs two more wins to grand out. So
tree contest too. I think he took.
Yeah, Fielder and him's got a pretty nice little dog. I mean, they're going to probably quadruple grand that dog out, which is phenomenal.
And really. He's young.
Yes.
He's not even two.
Yeah, he is now. Yeah. Me and Mark had talked about that. But yeah. So
how many people attend that you think?
Wow. I don't know. Like I said, this year it was crazy crowded. And I say crazy crowded. And I'm going to do this on one of my podcasts where I talk about, but yeah, I mean, you had a lot of people there. George Lambert was there. Kirk Price, who runs the YouTube channel, like he was getting swarmed by people wanting his autograph. He had his merchandise there, was selling it like hotcakes. You know, Mark Dufresne from Maine was there. Doug DeVos from Vermont was there. I mean, you got people from all over coming. I don't know the numbers, honestly, but I could find out. I could talk to Katie or Jason Woodward.
They always, I get a visit with those guys in Wisconsin, and they're always telling me, buddy, you guys got to come out to this evening. And it is so hard. Like, I want to, but it's like this March is just so time intensive for us.
And there was more vendors there this year than there had been in the past. I will say that. I was, when we pulled in, we were seeing little tents, and I'm like, wow, there's more people here than normally. Mm-hmm. There's just inside the hall, there's a couple little vendors, and then somebody may be selling collars. There's always somebody there branding dogs, and that's kind of it. But this year, there was a lot more. So you can definitely see the growth.
Yeah, it's good. I watched, with Wisconsin when they first came, seeing their booth and their swag and their that's one thing at Wisconsin. You'll either see a lot of W shirts, but you're starting to see it's like a – it's a friendly competition between the APA and the W. Who can have their shirt walking around the dinner? Yeah. So, anyways, it's
always the same weekend as Elk Creek, or I would have been there already. Like every year, it's the same one because that's, I would love to go back to that.
So, you probably know we got Heath Hyatt on here. Heath, welcome to the W show. We got some announcements that we got to kind of cover. We got some, I want to hear a story. Did you hear that Jason got pulled over this weekend?
I did. I think Danny posted that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bit of APA.
Now, was this the game warden story?
Yeah. Yeah. This is a pretty good
one. I read that. And let me tell you, I wish I'd have been with you.
I wish you were too.
They violated your Fourth Amendment.
Absolutely.
They cannot say, I heard gunshots and just start searching you. That's BS. And California is the most liberal. Was it California, right?
Oh, yeah. And TV star, Wild Justice.
It is. They can't do that.
My thing, I guess this was the weird spot I was in. I'm out of state. I got all my kids. Well, I had my two boys.
In the W truck?
Oh, yeah. No, it was a W truck. You're on the next Wild Justice episode, man.
Do they have cameras going?
I don't know. They had body cams going. I'm sure there was something. It was wild. Like, honestly, It was one of those weird scenarios where.
So back it up. Like, how did this roll on? You're just driving down the road. What?
Okay. Yeah, I'm coming down the road, going back to camp from just exercising some dogs. Get headed out, and all of a sudden, I'm blinded. I'm like spotlights, light with the wee woo lights, you know, the red and blue, and all of a sudden, I get approached. And the first officer that I dealt with was really, I mean, he was fine. He was respectful. He was nice. He was respectful of us having kids in the truck and whatever. And then officer, I'm not even going to say his name here, but people who've seen that show and are residents of California probably know who it is. He was a different story. In the words of my oldest boy, I said, "Were you nervous?" And he says, "Yeah, I was really nervous until you told me not to be." Because I took the whole thing with our original approaching officer, and he was really good about us. I said, "Can I keep the door open with the kids? You know, they're freaked out." And I'm explaining as we go through, like, "Hey, guys, when you're not doing anything wrong, there's nothing to worry about. Like, there's nothing wrong. He's doing his job." And even Connor, he for a while now has said, "I want to be a game warden." Like, that's kind of what he was wanting to do. He wanted to be a policeman. And he's like, "Well, I know, told him you could be fish and game." And he's like, "Oh, that'd be cool." I don't think he wants to do that after this, because the first guy was pretty good. But man, that was not a very pleasant experience with a game warden.
What you should have done, Jason, is you should have said, "I want this on body cam. I want you to record this. I want you to record that I'm not giving you consent to search my vehicle. You have no right to be in my vehicle. And if you do this against my will," he's saying he had probable cause because of gunshot, "I'm going to FOIA your recording, and I'm going to turn it over to the news media. That's what I'm going to do, because that's BS."
Well, and this was after, I mean, honestly, like, I obviously didn't want problems with the kids. Like, I'm out of state and my kids are freaking out. So the first officer, he's like, "You mind if I take a look?" And I said, "Honestly, bud, I got the kids in the back seat." And he's like, "We don't have to get them out. Just let me take a look." So he shined the door pockets and, you know, opened the doors, but he wasn't going through stuff per se. Then he had a second officer do the same thing, left all of our kids in the truck, you know, just did a quick sweep. And the third officer is the one that's like, "Nope, we're searching this." They literally gained access to my vehicle three times during the same stop over the course of an hour and a half. I mean, I'm not going to.
What does "let me take a look" mean? Like, what does that mean? What do you want to look at? What are you looking for? Like, how long is this going to take? Like, gosh, man, like, I'm telling you, they'd have put me in jail because I would have been fighting that tooth and nail.
Had I not had my boys with me, this may have been a way different situation, right?
Yeah, no, I get it. Because of kids.
I'm looking at, dude, you just pulled over a driving billboard. Like, you really think I'm out there in the company W hunting truck, like, out here poaching, which is what you're allegedly saying I'm doing. The best part was one of the game wardens was reading my copy of Full Cry while the other game wardens were doing something else. I'm like, this is what we're about. Like, clearly we got kids, you know, we're just out. We're down here for the weekend and went into town, bought a 2-day license. So we'd be 100% legal to go to the woods. And yeah, man, it's one of those things where now I'm willing to die on this hill. Like there's going to be some serious journalism going on. I figure we got podcast. I've got the print. I've already been in talks with a guy about doing a documentary about Houndsman and our relationship with the public and trying to hit small, like, short film festivals and things like that. I can tell you that documentary just shifted gears. Like, one weekend, I can tell you right now, I'm going to try to do everything I can to just blow this up to the public.
And just make sure I understand, because I was reading the post. So they heard gunshot somewhere.
He said, "We heard a gunshot."
Yep.
And that's why we stopped you.
And probable cause does give you a right to search a vehicle. And the only reason you can do that is because the vehicle's mobile. Any other time, you'd have to get a search warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And if he went into a magistrate, and I don't know the process out there, but in Virginia, like, me hearing gunshots does not give me probable cause to search your vehicle. I have to have consent, which means, hey, Jason, this is what was going on. This is what happened. Do you mind if I search? Not take a look. Do you mind if I search your vehicle for a weapon that I think was committing a crime? That's what I would ask you. And if you said no, then I'd say, okay, could you mind open up the doors? Let me look. Make sure there's no weapons of invisibility, plain view. And if not, then thank you for your time and move on. Like, he don't have anything to pinpoint you. Like, right. That, I know. When I read that, I was like, you know, that's just wrong. I mean, that's what gives everybody, that's what gives law enforcement bad raps. It right. gives us a bad rap. You know, it makes it uncomfortable with the public, whether it be, i.e., be a hunter or be a civilian. You know, those civilians, you trust us to do our job and to be professional, polite, and use due diligence and not violate your rights. That's why the Fourth Amendment is in place, so you don't get your rights violated.
Yeah. And I'm explaining that to my kids. You know, they know our local game warden. He sits at the FFA dinner with us. You know, like, I've got a good relationship through youth events and stuff we've done with him. And honestly, in the woods, I've never been treated like that. A, as a civilian, mm-hmm. and an interaction with a police officer of any kind, I have never been treated that way. Like, never been degraded. Just, to me, I mean, I'm at the point where I've already had two of them through my truck to a degree. And I would assume you have to ask access every time you want to gain access to a vehicle. I mean, I don't know. I'm putting a lot of pieces together, and I've got a lot of phone calls out. And
did you call his supervisor?
I did not.
Maybe. I mean, I'm not telling you to do that, but like, I feel like I would, and he can't use the ploy. And I think Fielder actually commented that an overreach of power. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't use that as a ploy. Well, he had probable cause. Well, I need you to explain that probable cause, because probable cause means it's 51% that you committed that crime. He didn't have 51% that you committed that crime. Sure. He had a whim.
Potential crime. Here's a vehicle,
heard a gunshot.
I think they made it up. To be honest, they're out there. They know that the trial's going on. It happens every year. You got war stories of who got pulled over coming back to the trial. I mean, we weren't the only ones stopped that night. I know for a fact.
Yeah.
It's wild. Yeah, I don't want to get way too far into the details, but I can tell you there is a lot of wheels spinning right now and all over the place, because I wanted, like I said, I just want to take the opportunity. And I think that it's really sad that one bad dude.
I want to hear what your boy says, though, because he's like a little bit, he's got a little bit of a wit to him, Jason. Like, I mean, I want to hear what his, when he settles down and digests all that.
I'll get him on. We'll do a podcast with the boys.
Yeah, he's going to have some
stories. Telling you, they said, I wasn't scared after you told me don't be nervous until the scary guy showed up. I mean, that's how all the kids described it, because it was such a night and day. I mean, come to my vehicle. Are there any weapons in your vehicle? And I said, sir, to the absolute best of my knowledge, there is not a firearm in this vehicle. I said it that way because I have somebody in my passenger seat, and I'll be honest, I don't know what's on their person. I don't ask, you know, if they're carrying or whatever. And that's when it came back. He says, flat out, if you have a gun in here, I am taking you to jail. That was it. And my boys about, I mean, you can imagine what they're doing. They're already nervous anyway. And
yeah.
Yeah. And then he says, this is California. I'm going to search your vehicle. And that was it. I mean, yeah, sketchy stuff. And looking back at it, it's like, I'm sure there was a lot I could have done in the situation, but it's almost better to deal with it afterwards and just bring to light. And, you know, just because I hate saying it, but ever since that show and hunting in California already and knowing it from the past and just the harassment that happens to hound hunters down there, we all know there's bad eggs in every group. Like, I'm not going to say there's not, but to automatically just flip into that mode to somebody who makes a living based in our industry and off of our dogs, you're not dealing with Joe Blow. I mean, I'm not a whole lot of clout maybe, but I'm the working man, and I believe that we were fully violated that night, and I plan on doing something with it. I'll talk to you off the air, Heath. We're going to have some conversation today. And buddy, you too, because I want to see about filing for some, what do you call, Public Information Act.
Oh, yeah.
Submissions.
Freedom of Information Act.
That's right. Can we do that for body cam footage?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, perfect. So
we can make a little show. I want to see what Jason looks like at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, it started about midnight and went to about 1:30.
Hey, could you cry for this one?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was quite the experience, and I just hope something comes out of it. The guy, it's an abuse of power, and it has been, ever since the ban of bear hunting down there.
Yeah, that's man, and that was Saturday night.
Yep, Saturday night into Sunday morning. So we got home at 3. We're laying in bed, in the tent, and Colin, the oldest. I was kind of just rehashing it a little bit. He says, me and Connor were trying to figure out who was going to have to drive home if you got arrested. Because that's a long way to drive, and I'm not really quite tall enough to reach the pedals. But those kids, the next day, my buddy asked him, how was it last night? He says, well, the cops got us about midnight. Yeah, that's my middle kid. He's a hoot, man. He's about 10 foot tall till he gets scared, and that kid was stone silent. You could see the tears being held back through the whole thing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
There's a difference doing your job. Game wardens are a valuable piece of why we have what we still have, and you have to have good relationships. And if you're screwing up, you're going to, potentially face the consequences. But man, don't be I don't even want to say it.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy.
Who was I listening to a podcast that was just talking about that? I was just talking about.
Chris just launched one over Houndsman XP. But I haven't listened to it yet, but
I think
it was probably Chris and Travis.
Well, there's an example right there. Looking at an ex game warden who's doing something for our sport. You know what I mean? Like Chris was an ex game warden.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
Something that comes to my mind when you talk about California, and we know, I mean, we're seeing it all across the United States right now. All these bills are being implemented. You've got your state, I think Washington, I know Vermont is trying to do it. They're trying to implement and take away the rights of the game commission, whatever you call them, DWR, DNR, whatever they are, and put antis in making these decisions and wipe out hunting. And I know for a fact several states have put antis in those positions. And I'm not saying he is or not, I don't know. But if he was, his goal was to stop it, regardless. Yeah. At all risks, I'm going to stop you from doing what you love to do because I don't agree with it. And that was one of the things that came to my mind when you was talking, Jason, is, okay, well, first of all, what's the backstory on him? Where did he come from? How long has he been doing this? We're seeing, and like I said, I have a really good rapport with our wardens. We work with them. They help us train. We interact with them and their canine team. We have a really good relationship. But I also know that the new batch that's coming in, the new guys are not woodsmen. They're not hunters. They don't understand what we do, what our passion is. And when it comes to making decisions to them, it's black and white. There's no in between. Yeah. This is what the book says, you get it. This is what the book says, you get it. So I get it.
He's been around. Like I said, when they were filming Wild Justice, he was one of the main wardens there. That was 2010 for National Geographic TV or whatever it was.
Right.
But, when the first officer I had an interaction with, we're standing around the truck and he kept saying, I'm going to check on my partner. You guys should be out of here soon. And I mean, I heard that 3 times. And also hear that I'm pro hound from a game officer makes you feel a little better. I mean, the guy I was dealing with flat out said, I'm pro hound. I think it's getting tight on you guys. He was asking me questions about Oregon regulations and if it's getting harder for us up there to keep things going. And the fact that the state of California is trying to ban all bear hunting with or without, like with dogs, has been gone since 2012. They're trying to do away with all bear hunting. And the officer that I was dealing with flat told me, he says, if that happens, I will hang up my badge. It is just, it's getting ridiculous.
Yeah.
And then you have the other extreme. So I hope there's a lot more to come. Like I'm going to do some research. I feel like this is going to be my first little bit of journalism.
Yeah. Gonna have
we went sideways on that one, didn't we, buddy?
We did. Sorry. I was like, well, we
went back in worms.
Yeah.
I was hoping for a good, you know, like a, did he kick you out of the truck, or I mean, you stay in the truck, or would they?
Oh, no.
I guess they got y'all.
No, they had me out. They had the kids out on the tailgate. They had, I thought my truck was a mess when I started the night. It was really a mess when he was done with it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, let's go back. I did want to hear the story. Because
more off air. There will be good stuff to come.
Yeah. So to circle back to our guest or whatever. So Heath, you're going to, I've been, for what people don't know is there's going to be some changes to the W podcast. And your podcast, what was the journey, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know when I first approached you, but it was months ago. About last Jason year. Was
years ago.
Yeah, it was years ago. Jason, I was from the beginning.
Yes.
If I did it right the first time, I'd do it the hard way, right? I would let it go. Like, no, we can't do it. Because whatever, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah. We were approached first to have you on our podcast, and we had to pass because, you know, there was reasons. But we were still in our infancy of, hey, what we could think we could do, and I'm gonna be honest, that was a mistake. We should have taken you. Like we should have just done it.
Things happen for a reason.
Yeah.
You know, with us switching platforms and some things that was going on, I mean, it's just, you know, it was a perfect timing.
Mm-hmm. And so my theory, and what I told Jason, I want to say brainchild of last year, was the podcast has been doing good. Like, we get good feedback on it. And again, I always tell people my motivation for the podcast is for me to connect deeply with customers, right? And so when I can hopefully get a few people to think Buddy's not an asshole, that's my goal. You know what I mean? If I can get a couple more people like that, great. But with that said, we need good content. And so last year I was like, man, I was starting to slip. I know, Jason, we get so busy sometimes. We want good content. So you're one of the guys that I listen to, like I enjoy listening to, because you're methodical, you're thoughtful, you are, you know, you're patient when you have a guest. Unlike me, I cut people off and interrupt people, and there's a bunch of things I do wrong that you don't. And so I was telling Jason, I was like, what do you think about trying to see if we can get Heath on our platform? And so that was months ago, and I'm happy to say we finally got you on our platform. You're going to start releasing as a host and giving content as a part of the W podcast.
Yeah. Hopefully sometime in April, early April, we'll get that going. And, you know, it's going to stay the same for me. I'm still going to interview my guests. I've kind of gotten away from the canine guys. And man, they have a lot of experience, but there will be some more on and off throughout the podcast. But I have found that hound hunters, you disappoint me. I don't mean to throw you under the bus, but like, man, there's so much knowledge and so much experience there. And like, people, you know, they, I guess they struggle with that. Instead of, you know, like I take something from I can learn something anywhere I'm at. I mean, us sitting down and having a conversation, I guarantee I'm learning something from it. Right. So, and I started the What's Up Wednesday, and I'm going to continue doing that. It's going to be a 25 to 35 minute drop on training. And I've got some really good ones coming up with the pups I'm fooling with. I started doing some things with them. So I'm going to try to drop some videos or some reels. You guys know I like to drop the reels, and we're going to talk about their experience. And hopefully in the next month or two, I will have them out for their first outing, actually on live game. And we're going to talk about the journey with them, like that, the process that they've made. I know me and Jason's been talking about these dogs for a couple of weeks now, because we got a lot of similarities and invested interest in this group of dogs. So I'm excited about it. Like I said, I love to talk dogs. I can talk dogs. In fact, we just got back from Hot Grease, and you know, the kids went with me, and I mean, I'm sitting there just talking to everybody, and we're talking and talking, and they're looking at me, and about 4 or 5 hours in, they're rolling their eyes, and I'm like, yes, I mean, it just like seems like I'm standing here 30 minutes, and so they're all ready to go, and I'm 6 hours in talking to people, and I could literally talk all day. So
that's why my wife stopped going to OESDA conventions with me, because she's like, you just sit here and you just talk to everybody.
I can do it. That my Maddie, she tells me, she goes, Dad, you could talk to a stop sign. I was like,
well, it's got a hound dog sticker on it.
That's right.
Oh, well, that's good. So you haven't, I know we talked a little bit before, you haven't figured out your name, right? Because I know, and I had given you some thought. One of the challenges I think a lot of people have is trying to find you, you know, with the name, the journey, you get so many other things that pop up. And so I was like, you need to think while you got this opportunity to think about how you want to structure the name and the description so that people can easily find you. Right. Because, I think that's so important.
A quick Google search. We did this on the way back from Tennessee the other day. Like there's over 100 dog training podcasts, over 100. I did not realize there was that many, but
right.
Each little city and suburb has their own little thing. I mean, my Florida is covered up. They've got 3 or 4, and you know, Los Angeles has a couple. You know, of course, they're positive stuff. And mm-hmm. then you type in the hound hunting, and then you know, you go through another 25 or 30 with that. So you know, you're well over 150 dog podcasts.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to make something that's unique for what we do and what all the listeners that graciously listen to me ramble on for an hour. I want stuff that catches their attention and that they want. So we're putting a lot more thought into it. We're trying to make it where when you type it in, it pops up and there's no having to go search for it. Because that was some complaints that I got is, well, it's not easy to find. It's not easy to find. So I end up literally sending them the link so they can get on it. So we're trying to make it better.
That's the, and not to, I don't want to, like Houndsman XP is going on their own, right? So they've separated and they're building their own platform. And that was one of the things that I was like, man, that is, that's a difficult thing to do when you build this. And I've had to do it before, like with my website. Like I started as dugraphics.com and I had to transition that to DU Supply. And on that, it's not too bad because I can redirect. I own both of them. But it's, I'll give you another idea. Is I used to do an app called I don't even remember what the app was called, but for mobile apps, it was, you would get on this app and you had this app and I could download it and it interjected, but they owned all that traffic. And it's kind of the same thing as what Houndsman XP is. And it's really hard to get away from that model when you're in somebody else's car, or somebody else's boat. And so that's why I like Facebook. We got a big Facebook following, but I never put a ton of vested interest in that because Facebook could turn that off tomorrow and we could lose everybody, you know, if they decided they didn't like hunting or whatever. So with that said, what you decide and what you come up with on a name, it's like you're building this car or this platform. Think about it. You know what I mean? Do those thoughts and those deep dives and go, hey, what, not only for today, but what's going to look like in a year, what's going to be 2 years, 3 years from now, and make sure you get that name that makes sense. And we got time. So like, I don't know what that name would be, but I know finding the journey when I searched for it,
it's hard.
It was difficult. You know what I mean? I really had to, and I don't know if I did find it. I think I might've finally found it on Apple, but it takes a while, especially mm-hmm. the new one. So hopefully the next one, we can have some type of keyword that's like super secret sauce. Nobody else does. And when you search for that, it shows up.
And it's difficult. Like I said, you're looking at over 150 dog hunting related. And mm-hmm. I didn't even get into the bird dog stuff. So I bet you it's well over 200.
Yeah.
But it's a lot. It's a lot. So we want you guys to be able to find us and join in and listen and learn and teach us stuff. So
yeah.
We're going to try to make it as user-friendly as possible.
Yep. And so some of the other things that I want to touch base with while you're listening here is the distribution of the show. So people are going to be able to listen to it in different places. So as of what was maybe 3 weeks ago, the only place you listened to us on the air was the W Hound podcast, right? And that's where everybody would listen to. And that's what traditionally, if you would have started with this, if we would have taken you on 2 years ago, like we should have, you would have been on the W podcast and that's where we'd be. What I've decided to do, me and Jason and everybody is we want to do it where everybody's going to be released on that W Hound podcast, but we're also going to try and build your own show so that if there's somebody who just wants to listen to your show, they can subscribe to just your channel and not get me and Jason and everybody else. Right. So, hopefully this isn't confusing for people, but, if we want some feedback on this, we're going to try some different things. And so there's going to be a lot of new things that are happening in the next 2 months, I'd say. And there's one other topic I want to touch base on, actually two topics. I want to touch base on advertisements. We did pull, how many advertisers? Just want W and Elite Nutrition, right? Yep. So we are going to work with a title sponsor. W is going to be an official, they always have been, but we've been a silent sponsor.
The W sponsored the W podcast.
Yeah. We just sponsor our own stuff. So we don't,
it was for SEO. No.
Yeah. But we are going to have, so you're going to get advertisements in taste. And so, I guess
an advertisement. It's just one right now. It's an ad. Right.
It's just going to be an ad. We're not going to advertise the heck out of the podcast. We're still really touchy on that. But part of my strategy going forward was I needed somebody to help me pay some of the content bills and make sure that when we elevate this podcast and we're going to provide a lot more content than what's been provided in the past, I want to have a plan that's successful. And I knew that if I just shotgunned it, it wasn't going to work. And so we got a partner to help us with that. So there's some things coming on that side. We're not going to dive into the advertisers and stuff like that, the advertisement, because we'll learn that as we go along. But the one caveat I want to talk about is what is that? So the Hound, what's the name of that platform that we're going to be releasing to, Jason? What do they call that? I don't want to say it wrong.
They changed it, so hold on.
It's called the
Hound Dog Network, ain't it?
Hound Dog Network, I think, yes.
Ain't it? So, I should say, isn't it?
Isn't ain't
it? You're good with it. You got an accent.
It's that Appalachian American coming out.
So, yeah, there's the Hound Dog Podcast Network. So, that people have not heard that term before, but what that is that's the old HXP feed from Sportsman's Empire, right? And so they've asked us to give our content to that network, and we're going to. So I want to be full transparency. You'll be able to listen, and they'll probably have other shows and stuff like that on there too. So
And other advertisers.
Like, so if you
their own deal.
If you're hearing us on that platform and you're hearing advertisements and stuff like that, that's not coming from our channel. Like our advertisers, me, Jason, Heath, whoever, you're gonna hear us talk about our advertisements. So if you don't hear us talking about the advertisements, we're not getting any funding from that. You know what I mean? So that's something that the platform is gonna advertise on. So if you're hearing Heath, if you're hearing Jason, if you're hearing me, and you're listening to it on that Hound Dog Podcast Network, awesome. We're happy to give you content. We're happy to provide a show for you. What we're going to talk about with our Elite Nutrition and stuff like that is going to be on the W Podcast and Network. And so a little confusing for people, but we'll see. There's just a lot of changes coming on. I know I had to explain it to Heath because he's like, well, I don't know. Either might be work, it might not. I don't know, but we're going to try it.
Just bear with us. Like I said, bear with us for a couple months till we get some of this stuff sorted out. And then we'll have it where it needs to be.
Yeah. And I don't know if this is going to be the first podcast on that network, Jason. I'm guessing it probably will be just because we're that. I think it makes sense to try to explain this one so people would know. But
because you're a familiar voice on that feed.
Yeah.
So that's where the journey was hosted for a long time up until recent. So
yeah.
Right.
And so if you want to listen to Heath's new show, which we don't know what's going to be called yet, but what was previously called The Journey, you should be able to listen to it on his show, and we'll give you that information once we get it. The W Podcasting Network will be another place that we secure the files and launch the files. And also the Hound Dog Podcast Network with Sportsman's Empire. We've just entered an agreement to give them a lot of content. I'm not going to say all the content. It's kind of up to the host, Heath. If you want your show on there, you can do that, or you can decline. Like, we're gonna give what people want to give. Me and Jason have decided that we're okay giving our content to them. I think it's the more the merrier. You know what I mean? Like, there's people there that want to hear and listen to it and download it there. Awesome. And if not, not a big deal. So that's the confusing part of that Hound Dog Podcast Network. So, and then Jason, you're going to be doing Full Cry, right?
Yeah.
Give us a little teaser.
That out about the same time. We're hoping for beginning of April.
Yeah.
And those will be real short, like micro podcast. I would say, you know, some of them might be 5 minutes. Some of
macro them might be 15. Or micro?
Micro.
Micro. Okay.
Macro is the big ones, right?
I don't know.
I'm not an English.
We can go Pico, Nano. We can go down to the Pico second, the Nano second, and get back to my Intel geeky.
You're smarter than me. I don't know. They're short. They aren't going to take an hour. How about that? Right. I can listen to one from my drive from my house 7 miles down the road.
Yeah. And are we safe to say that Brett's going to fire back on?
Yeah. Yep, we're finishing stuff up. I'm getting ready to send him some info, and we'll have him back on too.
So if you're listening, we're going to be adding Heath, which has some really good content. Brett, he's always done good content. He's going to be firing back up and hopefully getting on a weekly show. And then Jason, you're going to have a weekly episode, right?
Well, bi-weekly to start. Hopefully, as soon as just the logistics of getting it, you know, the way that we're structuring it, it's all just readings. So it's previously published. It's from the Full Cry magazine archives. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to start dispersing that out to a few people and doing readings. So as soon as we've got a stockpile, which hopefully would be soon, we would like to go once a week instead of bi-weekly. But now we don't want to overpromise and underdeliver.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it in my night job. I'm still answering phones all day for Buddy.
Yeah. It's your second job.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heath, what day did you want to try to launch yours? Or do you know yet?
Well, I know we had talked around the 1st of April.
No, I mean like the day of the week.
Huh?
The day of the week.
Oh, I like to stay on Wednesdays. I mean, that was my thing. And I think, you know, to keep the listeners consistent, I think Wednesday's good. If that's good with you guys, I'm
wide neutral. Open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So either the 3rd or the 10th, I'm not, like I said, we'll see how the content comes along.
Okay. Yeah. Is there anything you need from us? I mean, what are you pretty happy with the way your show's been going? Or is there anything you learned over the last 2 years? What's the hardest part about doing your podcast?
Getting good content week in and week out. You know, I'm all about learning. Mm-hmm. And when I started out with some really good guests in my mind, in my eyes, because they were like mentors or people that I looked up to. And like I said, the Hound guys didn't really care for some of that. So I kind of switched back to more of the hunting aspect of it. So it's hard. It's really hard to get good content 52 weeks a year. I mean, it's hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody's got... You know, like I'm still working full time. I'm, you know, training or teaching, running with, you know, Maddie's back and forth with volleyball or whatever. Soccer's going on. So trying to get somebody on once a week's hard on my end, and then the life comes up on their end, and you know, you miss a week, and if you don't have stuff backlogged, that's been the hardest thing for me. I want the listeners to know that if you guys are listening to me, I'm really trying to put thought into it and bring value to what you hear. And it may just be a tidbit. It may just be a 5-minute blurb in there, but I want stuff to hold value that makes us better with our dogs, you know, with our life, our family. Like, I'm all about all of that, but yeah. You know, it's concentrating around dogs, and I want people to learn and have a better relationship and enjoy themselves out in whatever field it is they're practicing. Cause we have bird dog guys on, we've had retriever guys on, we've had hound guys on, we've had blood tracking, we've had, you know, shed guys on. So we've hit it all, but we want people to enjoy that time afield with their dogs and whatever dog it is. Not, we can't just say hounds because we've hit an array of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of the feedback I get is, people really want to hear about training. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm probably most excited about, is you tend to focus on that a lot. You know what I mean? I'm able to dabble in it some, and I've had to force myself to talk about training because I don't feel adequate. You know, basically I don't think I'm 45 years old. I don't think I'm like the 45 year old man in the office. You know what I mean? I still feel like I'm the 20 year old kid sometimes. I'm like, dude, I'm just barely learning this shit here. So like, why are you asking me? And then I realize, oh yeah, I am the old man in the group sometimes, or one of the old guys. And so I'm really excited about that because there are a lot of people who really are back in those times. I heard you say it, the same thing too. You've been at it for 30 years or so, I think. And so I don't know how many, I'm not 30, but maybe I'm 25, but you know, I'm close, but same thing. It wasn't until, you know, a while ago that I really started, things were clicking and I was learning and I was like making solid moves in my training, my abilities to train a dog, you know what I mean? Be consistent or whatever. And so, I've always been really careful, you know, not to try to preach or anything like that, but there's a need for it. There's a need for some of us that have figured a little bit out. And I say that cautiously because I don't want to sound like, oh, I got it all figured out, because I don't. And the natural ability for me is to be like, yeah, I don't know. And, I remember asking mentors, you know, questions, and they were like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. And now I'm like, bullshit. You did know the answer to that. You just were being humble and, you know, looking at me like, yeah, I can't explain it to you right now. You know what I mean? Like, that was kind of probably, when I think back a couple times that I was given that, that's interesting. I don't know. They were probably looking at me going, yeah, you're not ready for this answer yet.
But some people, and I know this with my, I go back to the law enforcement side with my canine group. You know, I've got 16 guys that handle dogs. Mm-hmm. I've got 14 guys that are handlers, not trainers. They see a behavior. They understand what the dog's doing, but they don't know how to, I hate to use the word manipulate, because we're really, you know, I don't like that word, but they don't know how to change the behavior for the desired result that they want.
Right.
They see me do it, but they can't explain that process. They can't explain X, Y, and Z. And I don't know everything either. I'm always learning. Like, I want to learn. I have an open mind. I said that in one of my podcasts. It's like a parachute. It works best when it's fully open. And the more the information I can take in and the more I can understand dog behavior, the better I'm going to be at it. And that's one thing that I have noticed with a lot of dog guys, period. They can get a dog to do something, but they can't explain to you why and how they're getting there. And it's always the why.
Yep.
You know, why did the dog do this? Well, I did this X, Y, and Z, and it performed this behavior, and I know what behavior is coming after that. So I changed what I did to get that behavior. And that's where you have handlers, but you don't per se have trainers. And
yes.
Like I said, in the law enforcement world, that's what really opened my eyes up is, you know, I got guys that can handle dogs really good. But if you told them that they had to do something And before you can do it, you got to explain to me how you're going to do it. They couldn't.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a depth that you don't notice, or you don't, it's not easily, it's kind of like, almost like an apprentice level. You know what I mean? Like when you start off, you see the results of the dogs. They trail, they tree, they catch, whatever, but you don't see the minutia of the details of living the life for 15, 20 years of, you know what I mean? Like those, you know, it's like studying something more depth, and it takes a while to get that.
Well, I want to go back to what you said earlier. When you was talking about, training dogs, mm-hmm. like life is a learning lesson. You learn all through life. And, you know, the older we get, the easier it is for us to sit back and take a step and not get in a rush.
Yeah.
And, you know, for me, that's really, my patients have really helped me. And a lot of that's with age. And a lot of it is I've seen the detrimental effects that it had on some of the dogs that I had 20 years ago, where I, you know, I didn't do the dog justice,
yeah.
You know, impatient, hard-headed, and so on and so forth. And I had a guy comment on one of my reels that if the dog don't do it, then he ain't staying here.
Right. Well,
I get that. I've been there. I've walked in those shoes, and I completely understand your thought process, and I get it. But it's not about if the dog don't do it, it's not staying here. It's about me forming a relationship with that dog, and I can look at that dog, and that dog it looks at me, and we understand each other. That dog, yeah. Y'all hunted enough. You've got with dogs. You can look at one of your dogs and then make eye contact with you, and you're like, oh, okay, I better not do that. Or, you know, I need to go on and do this. And, you know, that nonverbal communication, you know, that's the greatest.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm striving to get to, even though I'm not there. But
yeah, it's interesting. And so, like, and that's the hard part for me is when I have somebody, especially brand new, like, if I have somebody who's fresh out of the gate, brand new, and they're just in that frustrating moment of time where they can't find success, you know what I mean? Like, well, I take these dogs out and I do this. And someone in the department or whatever was sending me, they had a request for a gal up north, not a hunter, had a couple blue ticks, and was asking about trailing and training for cougars. And I'm like, that is just not a can you want to open up. You don't, you know what I mean? Like, you just read Where the Red Fern Grows. I don't know if she's a lawyer or something, but she's busy in life, and she's got these two blue ticks, and they're bred good, and they'd just be really good if they could just find a job to do. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I remember that. Like, you don't, I'm not saying it can't happen, but I'm saying the first step is to get rid of one of those two. Pick one, and let's just start with one. You know what I mean? Like, pick your favorite. But now I like them both. I'm like, no, that's not how it works. I'm just telling you right now, if you want to do this, it's a whole different game. This isn't teaching a pet to sit and teaching it manners or whatever. I mean, there's a lifestyle here that you just have to put so much tremendous amount of time and effort in it. And most people don't have that. You know, they just don't have it. So, luckily she didn't reply to my email, and I never did say anything, but this is all in my head. I didn't say this out loud, but like, I got to bite my tongue and tell her not to get rid of one dog. I mean, the first thing you do is get rid of one dog. I don't care which dog you get rid of, but don't start with two year and a half year old, you know, dogs you got from some breeder that doesn't hunt. And those dogs are, you're just going to think you read a book and you're going to go teach these dogs to start trailing. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to say you can't do it, but I'm going to say you got 5, 6, 10 years. They got that dog's life to wreck that one. And then maybe you can make the next one little bit better. So.
Yeah. It's tough though. I mean, cause like you were saying, I just had the same conversation with my buddy. It's like, dude, we're quickly becoming the old guys of the group, you know, and you go to the trial this weekend down at Elk Creek. It's like, man, the older crowd, there's less and less.
Yeah.
But the younger crowd, there is a lot, like a lot of new faces, and which is exciting, right? Like dog entries were up. It sounded like more involvement from the younger novice group. But man, that's a rough group. You should read my next article, buddy. So I talk about how frustrating it is, because when you're starting, it's like the frustrations and the questions are equal, right? Just as many questions as frustrations, but the frustrations you're dealing with and those answers to a lot of those questions, like you said, some of them people can't explain. You just have to hit a point where you have the ability to understand it.
Yeah. And I like learning the hard way. I don't know why.
Yes, he does.
I like to do things the hard way. Not so much in my older years. Like I'm getting over that a little bit now. You know what I mean? Maybe because I don't got as much time, but maybe I'm just more open-minded. You know what I mean? But So
I enjoy your training ones.
I'm excited because we do get a lot of people asking for training. And I think Heath, I think you do a good job. You're methodical, you're thoughtful, you're organized, you know what I mean? Those types of things are really helpful for people. And I think like that's what I've learned is to not shoot from the cuff so much, you know what I mean? To have a little more patience, to be thinking ahead. And even like with your puppies, you know what I mean? Like you build these routines and you just start these little things that you do. Other one you were talking about, I know, was when you had those two dogs tied up, you know, those puppies tied up and they freaked out. Just, I mean, look, and I could visually just imagine those puppies flipping over and like flopping around. And I was like, yo.
My next What's Up Wednesday, you're going to get some more of that because I switched over from the loading and everything. So I've kind of moved on to my next thing. So I'm getting ready to go to Canada and I'm going to use a tie out. So I drug the tie. I'm not going to give it away, but I drug the tie out and tied them to the tie out. And it's going to be interesting to know what happens and what dog did what. But, you know, you guys, so when I do these reels and stuff, I feel so stupid. Like, I feel like this stuff is so simple that these people are looking at me and going, what's this dude doing? Like, what's he doing?
Right.
Like, you know, why is he feeding his dog on a truck for 2 weeks? Why is he feeding his dog in the truck for 2 weeks? And I have to, I've realized this, is there's a lot of newcomers, like what you said, buddy, that are sending me messages and saying, thank you. I hear you talk about it, but now seeing it, I can put it into action. And some, you know, everybody learns different. Some are visual, you know, some are, you know, audio and some are both. But I mean, I have to tell you, like, I feel like a complete idiot with some of these videos. I really do, because I'm like, everybody knows this. I mean, everybody.
Right.
And not everybody does. Like, it's surprisingly that, you know, a lot of guys and girls don't. And I get that feedback and I'm glad that it helps them, because like I'm having to make myself do it. Like I'm making myself do it so people can get a visual of what I'm doing. So
It's uncomfortable to do that. Now those are situations where you and I've always avoided these types of talks. You know, for W, it's always been about the callers being the experts of the Garmin. I've always said we're no experts in dog training, and with this podcast I've had to change that mentality a little bit, you know what I mean, and to be able to talk and to relate. And so it was uncomfortable because nobody, I don't want to say nobody. Some people get the ego out of being the expert. Like, and that's natural for some people. That's not for me. You know what I mean? I don't really, that's not my reasons for wanting to share or do anything with that. It's genuine to help people. And I think I speak for yourself, but I think you're about the same. You know what I mean? You're not doing it to pump your own ego up. You're really doing it to try to help people. And so that, like I said, I keep doing that kind of stuff. Like, we need more of that, and it's really good. And the patience is the number one thing that I go to all the time is when I see something. It used to be teaching a dog to load up on my truck or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, it used to be like, you had to do that one session and you're up, down, up, down. I'm like, now it's like, nope, she's not ready. I'm not even going to worry about it. I'm not going to chase her. You know, there'll be times that like, I'll have a dog that don't want to load up or whatever. And I just get my truck and drive off. And I'm like, okay, well, you can run behind the truck for a little while. And then I don't even get mad anymore, but I'll run her for a mile and a half. And then I get there and I get out and I load her up, you know, and put her in the box. And she makes me think like, well, all the other dogs just jumped on the truck and they got to ride the truck. But I got pretty soon, it didn't take the next time, but I think the second time after that, she's like, okay, when they jump up on the box, I better jump on the box because that truck is taking off and they're not seeming to wait for me. I'm not the princess anymore. But it used to be, I'd get all mad and frustrated and why aren't you loading up? And you know, I mean, that's done. Now I'm just like, okay, well, we can do that. I got time. So I'll just take an extra 10 minutes of my day and I'm just going to drive off like I didn't see you. You know, I'll pretend like I didn't notice that you didn't load up. I'm like, oh, shoot, that pup, there's the puppy. How long have you been running by my truck? Oh, I'm sorry. Hop on up. Here you go. Give me a little pet, put him in the box and be like, okay, next time, maybe I'll see you next time if you get on top of the truck. That way, you know, I don't really have to run anymore. So anyways, patience, I think you've mentioned a couple of times, and I just think that's really awesome. So
yeah, I had pups tested my patience yesterday. And again, I'm going to talk about that in one, but you know, usually I can holler for them and I don't care where they're at, how far they are away. If they can hear me, they coming at 100 mile an hour.
Right.
And yesterday I hollered to come and I put them up and I had to go looking for the other two. Well, they were out in my neighbor's cow field eating cow poop, rolling in it, whatever dogs do. So I went to the fence and I hollered for their name and they both looked at me like, oh, there's Dad. And I'm like, all right, guys, come on. And, you know, that 1 to 10 seconds, you can watch a dog and literally count out loud. 1, 2, 3. By that 10 seconds, they've already decided what they're going to do. You can put that on a timer, I can promise you. Well, they, about 8 seconds, they was like, oh, and they just went on about their business. So I went back to the basement, got a handful of dog food, and I'm like, I'm not going to do that. So I went back to the fence, hollered for them again. They both paid attention again, looked at me like, oh, hey, Dad. 8 seconds, they were back doing their own thing. And I'm like, all right, now you're testing my patience. So I walked. So my neighbor's got an electric fence, one strand electric fence to keep his cows out of it. And so I went up to the gate. Well, Bridger seen me coming through the gate and he's like, oh, Dad's coming. We better go. So Bridger comes kind of like scampering back through the field and comes up and I pet him. I didn't feed him. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go ahead and put him up. So I went and put him up. I went and got dog food in my hand, put him up. And then I went back and Briggs is over there. I don't know if he's chasing butterflies. I mean, this dog, Jason, you may know, this dog was jumping up in the air and booger barking and he was flipping around in circles and booger barking. I'm like, what is he barking at? Like, I had no idea. Mm. Like, he literally looked like he was on a gymnastic. That's what he looked like. So I holler at him. And he looks at me, and he goes back to booger barking. And I can't see what he's booger because he's over almost over a point. And long story short, when I cracked the gate and he heard the chain rattle, he decided he was going to come on. But then the little rascal, when I got to put him in his pen, he wanted to run around the house from me. And I'm like, you are really trying my patience. And anyway, I stood there in a calm manner after I talked myself off the ledge. And yes, I do talk to myself. Trust me. I talked myself off the ledge and I went in the basement and got a couple kibbles, like a little handful of food. And he would come up and smell it, but he wouldn't let me touch him. Long story short, anyway, ended up getting in the pen. But this was about a 20-minute process of me feeling my ears get red, my neck was red. I can feel the sweat coming out of my forehead. And I'm like, Heath, just chill. Just calm down. So I am prepared for the next time that happens. I have an answer for that.
So. Yeah.
Just stay tuned. Well, that's
right? Like a caller. Mm-hmm. Put a caller on. I'm like, same thing with our little Brittany. Like, if it, you know, we talked to e-caller and that's where you can really reinforce some of that stuff. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because the same thing, I like to be able to take dogs out without, and I want them to listen, but man, you got to have the foundation. You know what I mean? You have that first, like they got to know what, and when you're looking at it, like, you know, the part that pisses me off is, you know what I want and you're still not going to do it. Like, and I can't do nothing about that right now. So, no, that's funny. Well, I got to go pick up my son. I'm going to go. He just gets his driver's ed class or whatever. So I told him I'd pick him up. Heath, we're excited to have you on board. Like we're definitely, we're excited. I think it's going to be good. And if there's stuff that you need or whatever, you let us know. But, once we get your name and stuff like that, we'll let people know. Anything before we close?
Guys, I mean, I appreciate you giving me an opportunity. Like I said, I love talking about dogs. I'm excited myself that, you know, that this, you know, it's kind of like when one door closes and another door opens kind of thing. And yeah. I think things happen for a reason, and man, we're going to carry on. So,
yeah, like I said, we should have picked you up 2 years ago. We weren't ready for you then. You probably weren't ready.
I was nobody. Nobody knew. I'm still nobody, but
we weren't either.
Three people at plot days did know who I was. So I was pretty tickled with that.
You get your signatures. We get you little cardboard cutouts you can bring to the events for you next time.
Yeah.
So, all right.
But no, I really appreciate the opportunity. I mean, I'll tell you that. I appreciate it.
Sounds good. All right, Heath. We'll talk to you soon.
Good deal.